Today on the program, we'll acknowledge our own infirmities and the miseries of this life. In addition, we'll look at just how much Jesus cares about us. This is all on this episode of the Gary Zimek Show. Stay tuned, because here we go. Hey there, you. Come on in. Make yourself at home. I'm Gary Zimek, and I'm going to be here for the next 30 minutes. So glad that you can join me on the program today. We will look at a couple of interesting things. First, the miseries of this life, our own infirmity. Sounds uplifting, doesn't it? Now, don't panic, because there's a good message here. And when we look at the daily mass readings, which we'll also do today, we're going to see an example of just how much the Lord loves us. That love is so extreme, sometimes we can't believe the lengths he will go to in order to help us. Now, again, you can look at these readings today. These readings can be, especially the first reading, can be a little challenging, but if we look at it in light of the fact that the Lord loves us, I think you'll see that it's really uplifting. But sometimes things have to happen to all of us that seem unpleasant, right? I'm sure they've happened to you. The Lord allows these things to happen because somehow they'll benefit us. This is, you know, I think the most challenging part of our spiritual journey is that it's a process that takes all of our life. We're not going to get to the point in 20 years, in 30 years, in 40 years where the Lord can say, that's it. You know everything there is to know. You don't need any more help. You have arrived. Relax now. Grab yourself a cold drink. Sit. That's what we do on this show, but you're not going to get to that point. You're going to be spending the rest of your life being shaped, being molded, being taught by the Lord. And you might not like it. I struggle with this at times too, because I've already said to the Lord, Lord, you don't have to teach me anymore. I got the point. But only he knows whether or not I have the point, right? That's what we forget. He wants us to get to heaven. You and I, because we have a fallen human nature, we need a lot of help. And I mean a lot of help. So he's going to help us because he doesn't want to give up on us. Sometimes that's going to require you to suffer. He doesn't allow you to suffer just for the sake of torturing you. That's not what he does. He does it to help you in some way. So we will talk about that on the program today. Today we celebrate the optional memorial of St. Elizabeth of Portugal. I'll tell you a little bit about her in a few minutes. A quick reminder, tomorrow I'll be heading down to Tampa, Florida. So if you're in the vicinity, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, I will be speaking at St. Paul's Parish in Tampa on Wednesday night, and then on Thursday and Friday, I'll be at the IHM Catholic Homeschooling Conference. That will be that will also be in Tampa. So I would suggest, I think it's at St. Lawrence. I mean, I don't have the listing right in front of me. I think it's St. Lawrence Parish. Double check my website just to be sure, followingthetruth.com. You can look at all of my upcoming appearances. But if you're in the area, I really hope that you'll come by and say hello. All of these appearances, both the homeschooling conference and the church appearance, are free of charge. So stop in, even if you're not a homeschooler, you want to stop by and say hello. I would love to meet you. I'll have my merchandise with me. And more importantly, I'd love to get to meet you in person. So keep that in mind. That'll be happening the rest of the week. I am pre-taping my shows for the rest of the week, so you're going to be all set there. Tomorrow morning, 6:35 a.m., I will be doing, from the airport, my regular weekly appearance on EWTN Radio on the Sunrise Morning Show with Anna Mitchell. We'll be concluding the look at my book, Find a Real Friend in Jesus, 10 Amazingly Easy Steps. So I hope you'll be able to tune into that. You know what? One thing I forgot to mention on yesterday's show that I wanted to bring to your attention today is that over the weekend, I was on EWTN Bookmark, on the TV program EWTN Bookmark, talking about my book, Faith, Hope, and Clarity. Now, if you missed the show, it is up on YouTube, but another way that you could find it is to go to followingthetruth.com and click on the TV tab. That's right along the top of the website. That'll take you to a list of all of my TV appearances. If you scroll down, look for the one that says Gary's Appearance on Bookmark, talking about faith, hope, and clarity. It starts at 16 minutes into the broadcast. There was another author that was on before me, so my segment is the second part of the program. I hope you'll be able to watch that, tune in, see what you think. It also airs again sometime this week, but I honestly don't know. I don't remember when. You could consult the EWTN programming schedule to find out when it is. So that's another chance for you to catch yours truly on TV. And then again in August, my appearance on Living Right with Dr. Ray Guarendi will be happening. Boy, we taped this last year. I almost forgot about this. And I would love to share that with you as well. I don't have the exact date. I believe it's the first week in August. As we get a little bit closer, I'll let you know for sure. But that's Living Right with Dr. Ray. I talked about my struggles with anxiety and discussed in depth my books, A Warrior's Guide to the Bible and From Fear to Faith. So check that out if you're interested. And also remember, Total Consecration to Jesus Through Mary is coming up beginning in September. More details will follow this year. It's all new, all different, something I've never done before. We're going to take the best of the best. I'll have several different books. I'm going to come up with my own preparation for total consecration, 33-day preparation, based on many different books that I have, and I guarantee it will be faithful to St. Louis de Montfort's guidelines. And we'll talk about that, because I have his guidelines, I have a lot of his writings, and I'm going to use these different techniques, because I'll be honest with you, I think they all are good. Father Gately's version, the version from the Montfortian Fathers, and so many of the other ones that we've used, but they also have their limitations as well. I think that if we use the best of the best, we can come up with a brand new and dynamic preparation for total consecration that will be unique, and it really will. Best of all, I'm not going to ask you to buy any book this year. I just want you to listen to the broadcast, and maybe I'll blog about it if I'm able to do that. I'm still working out the details. Me and the Holy Spirit, we're in a dialogue about how we should handle this, but stay tuned for more information. And as always, if you have questions, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Please also keep in mind that I need your support in order to keep this program running and to keep my full-time apostolate functioning as well. You could do that by visiting followingthetruth.com and using the Amazon link on my website. Anytime you make a purchase from Amazon, just think of old Gary and go to followingthetruth.com. In addition, if you'd like some great coffee, check out Mystic Monk Coffee, available at the website as well. And if you would like to make a donation, either one-time donation or become a monthly sponsor, it's very much needed, especially in the summer. Please also keep me in your prayers. These are the ways that you can keep the program on the air. And if you like the work that I do, if you like to see my full-time work continue, these are the ways that this is the ways that it's going to happen. So I thank you. You are awesome. You rock. Let me know if you have any questions at all. Gary@followingthetruth.com. All right, it's beverage du jour time. We're going basic today. A nice big glass of water. I cut the front and the back lawn today. I'm a little bit tired, a little bit parched. Nothing quenches your thirst like water. Amen? All right. Let's pray. Let's turn to our Heavenly Father and ask Him to be with us. Let's bring our intentions to Him. Let's thank Him. Let's praise Him. Let's bless Him. And then we'll get on with the rest of the program. Please join me as we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us another day. Thank you for the many blessings that you deliver to us every day. The fact that we are still alive after how many ever years, we're grateful that you have not given up on us. We're grateful that you allow us to participate in your plan of redemption by offering up our suffering. We're grateful that you allow us to share in your mission of building up the kingdom by evangelizing, by sharing the good news. We thank you for the food that we have to eat. We thank you for all of the blessings you've given us, our houses, our cars, our clothes. If we are living, as I am, in a free country, we're thankful for that gift as well. We're thankful for your love. We're thankful for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Father, we ask you to bless us, to bless our families, those around us. Keep us close to you, and one day we beg you to let us live with you in heaven. Father, we lift up those who are sick, those who are anxious, those who are lonely, those who are struggling with doubt or despair those who are dealing with addiction, those who are dealing with religious persecution, those who may be experiencing extreme weather conditions, those who are struggling financially, those who are homeless, those who are homebound, those who are imprisoned. We also present to you our own personal needs. You know what they are. We ask you to help us with all of our spiritual and our material needs. I also give you this program, and I ask you, Father, to speak through me, and also to open our minds and our hearts so that we may be receptive to the message that you have for us today. We pray for our priests, our nuns, our deacons. We pray for an increase in vocations. We pray for an end to abortion. We pray for peace in the world. And we pray for our government officials. We ask that they may have the desire to govern in accordance with your law and not according to any of their own ambitions or personal beliefs. We ask for all these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. And now we turn to our Blessed Mother, Mary, and we ask for her prayers as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. And Saint Elizabeth of Portugal, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thanks so much for praying with me. My name's Gary Zimak, in case you're a new listener. We do this program every Monday through Friday on Blog Talk Radio. You can also catch the podcast on iTunes and TuneIn Radio as well. And you can also listen from my website, followingthetruth.com. Just go to the radio page, scroll down, and you'll have a couple different options to listen right from the website. So, I try to make it as easy as possible for you. That's why I want to keep it free of charge. That's why I want to make this program available in as many different outlets as I possibly can. And I'm going to keep doing that. It's going to be harder and harder to get away from me, right? Okay, St. Elizabeth of Portugal. The daughter of Spanish monarchs, Elizabeth married Dennis, the Portuguese king, when she was but 12 years old. Already well-formed in the ways of virtue, Elizabeth devoted herself to caring for the needy and the abandoned of the kingdom. She created homes for foundlings and repentant prostitutes and raised dowries for poor girls. In the church's art and imagination, she is the beautiful queen who bears an apron full of roses, a miracle, it is said, that quelled her husband's anger concerning her frequent almsgiving. After Dennis's death, she devoted herself wholly to prayer and service as a Franciscan tertiary. Elizabeth died in 1336 and is the patroness of Catholic charities. And we ask her to pray for us, and we ask her to help us to be able to decide how we should best use our resources. And that's one of the challenging questions that we face. How much should we be giving to charities? How much should we be keeping for ourselves, right? That's a challenge. But it's a challenge that has to be brought before the Lord. We have to accept that challenge. We have to discern this. Archbishop Chaput from Philadelphia said very clearly, I think it was a couple of years ago, if we don't help the poor, we're going to hell. I mean, that's a radical statement, but it's absolutely true. And who are the poor? Then that's in your life and in my life, we have people that don't have enough to eat. I mean, they might not actually be in our life, but we know, you know, we get charitable requests in the mail constantly. We got to help these people to the best of our ability. How about various apostolates? I always feel uncomfortable asking for donations, but I couldn't keep operating if it wasn't for your help. So I need to do it. EWTN does it. Relevant Radio does it. Everybody needs to raise money. All these various Catholic apostolates need to raise money to keep going forward. How do you know? Well, certainly you shouldn't put your own needs, your basic needs, in jeopardy. You have to pay your mortgage. God wants you to pay your mortgage. He doesn't want you to use the mortgage money to give to charity. But there are other options that you have. I mean, maybe even possibly one day you could rethink, do I really need such a big house? But he certainly doesn't expect you to give away the money that you need to pay bills with. But maybe in your long-range planning, you could say, maybe I need a smaller house. Maybe I'm living too extravagantly. This is something that you just, that's between you and the Lord. My job here is just to make you aware of that. It's a really important thing. It's something that I do and that I really try to work on. And it can be challenging, but if you bring it to the Lord, it does work out. He will let you know. But St. Elizabeth of Portugal certainly can help us with her example and with her prayers as well. All right, Tuesday of the 14th week in Ordinary Time, we're going to look at the Mass readings, beginning with the first reading today. I mentioned at the start of the show, this is somewhat of a tough reading, but the message is overall a positive one. We're reading from the book of the prophet Hosea, chapter 8, beginning in verse 4. Thus says the Lord, they made kings in Israel, but not by my authority. They established princes, but without my approval. With their silver and gold they made idols for themselves, to their own destruction. Cast away your calf, O Samaria. My wrath is kindled against them. How long will they be unable to attain innocence in Israel? The work of an artisan, no God at all, destined for the flames, such is the calf of Samaria. When they sow the wind, they shall reap the whirlwind. The stalk of grain that forms no ear can yield no flower. Even if it could, strangers would swallow it. When Ephraim made many altars to expiate sin, his altars became occasions of sin. Though I write for him my many ordinances, they are considered as a stranger's. Though they offer sacrifice, immolate flesh, and eat it, the Lord is not pleased with them. He shall still remember their guilt and punish their sins. They shall return to Egypt. Now, if you have studied the Old Testament, or even if you're remotely familiar with the Old Testament, you've seen a recurring pattern. When the people turn to the Lord and obey him and worship him, things work out for them. When they don't, when they turn to false idols, what happens? Things don't work out. Now, I said at the start, this is a tough message. The people are going to get slapped around, as they have throughout the years, because they disobeyed the Lord. He simply puts his law before them, and if they would just listen, things would be fine, but they don't listen. And as a result, there is a punishment involved. Now, remember, these readings, it seems harsh, but these readings written thousands of years ago, they took place, or they were written for a people who had a different concept of God than you and I have. Even though these readings were inspired by the Holy Spirit, they were written thousands and thousands of years ago. So some of the way that it's written might sound really rough when you and I read them. But overall, the message is this. God loves you, and God will do things. He will allow things to happen in your life. Some of them won't be pleasant. But he's trying to help you to get to heaven. And ultimately, there's a bigger picture. If you don't do it God's way, you're going to end up in hell. So there, I mean, that's the ultimate picture. We could do this the easy way or the hard way. We can either listen to the Lord or we can disobey him. If you disobey him and you try to do it your way, what's going to happen is you'll be miserable. Even though you think you're going to be happy, you won't be. And also, you run the risk of not making it to heaven. But if you do it the Lord's way, not only will you find peace, even in the midst of your suffering, because that's what he offers, but you'll make it to heaven. You don't need me to tell you this, but we all need to hear this periodically so that we can keep on the right path. The Psalm 115, the house of Israel trusts in the Lord. And really, that's your goal, to ask the Lord to help you trust him. Or if you trust him, you're going to experience a lot more peace in your life. And also, you're going to be able to get to heaven. Our God is in heaven. Whatever he wills, he does. Their idols are silver and gold, handiwork of men. They have mouths, but speak not. They have eyes, but see not. They have ears, but hear not. They have noses, but smell not. They have hands, but feel not. They have feet, but walk not. Their makers shall be like them, everyone that trusts in them. None of us will admit to worshiping idols, but when we put all of our trust in ourselves, when we seek comfort, when we seek wealth, when we seek recognition, and when we don't pray, we are putting our trust in idols. We are worshiping idols. Nobody's going to admit it, but we often do that. If your confidence, if your security lies in the money you have in the bank, and you're never turning to the Lord and recognizing that ultimately He is responsible for taking care of you, if you're not doing that, then you're worshiping an idol, the idol of your bank account. I've done that. I know what it's like. If any time you feel down, you buy something to help yourself feel better, well, then you are really worshiping an idol. That doesn't mean, listen, we all need a little pick-me-up sometimes. But I've heard people say, when I'm down, when I'm struggling with a problem, I go shopping. That makes me feel better. Well, you shouldn't be going shopping then. You should be praying. You should be sitting yourself down in front of the Blessed Sacrament, opening your Bible, talking to Jesus. This is what you should be doing. And again, I've done that too. I am a very materialistic person by nature. Now the Lord is helping me. I'm asking Him to take that away, and it's helping. It's a good thing it's helping, because with my career now, I don't have the money that I used to have, which, again, I'm very happy about that. But just make sure you're turning to Him and not worshiping idols, even though you don't realize it. He is the source of your security, period. The gospel is from Matthew chapter 9, verses 32 through 38. A demoniac who could not speak was brought to Jesus, and when the demon was driven out of the mute man, spoke. The crowds were amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He drives out demons by the prince of demons." Jesus went around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness. At the sight of the crowds, His heart was moved with pity for them, because they were troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for His harvest. All right, we got a couple of things in here. Jesus has a human heart, and His heart is moved with pity for the people because they are like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus cares about you, and He cares about your problems, and He wants to lead you on the road that will eventually result in eternal life with Him in heaven. He cares. That's a very good thing. That should make you feel very good. And when we look at that first reading, again, we can get a little upset, but really, in reality, what's happening here, this is an example of the fact that the Lord cares for His people. And sometimes He's going to allow things to happen. I can point to things in my life that were unpleasant, but that resulted in having me grow closer to the Lord. Who among you, and you have to be honest with me here, prays more earnestly when things are going good in your life? It just doesn't happen. And the Lord knows that. And the Lord cares about you. And the Lord will do whatever He has to do to help you to get to heaven. And that's because He is so all-loving and all-caring. And the other thing I'd like to point out in this gospel passage is there are a lot of different messages that we can get out of it. But one of the things is that Jesus says the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So pray. Pray that there will be laborers for the harvest. We need to continue to pray for vocations. And also, we need to respond. What can we do to share the good news with those around us? We can all do that. And as Catholics, we are all called to evangelize, to share Jesus Christ with those people around us. It starts with our families, and then we go to our coworkers, our friends. There are people who don't know Jesus Christ, and it's up to you and I to get the job done. Okay? Let me know if you have any questions. I want to talk now about acknowledging our own infirmities, the miseries of this life. This comes from the great book, The Imitation of Christ, by Thomas A. Kempis. This is what we try to do every Tuesday. We try to take a look at this book. This particular chapter is a dialogue between a disciple and Jesus. Actually, it looks like it's a monologue. This is the disciple talking to Jesus. So picture, this is you talking to the Lord. Lord, I will acknowledge my sin before you and confess my instability. Often some trivial thing depresses me, leaving me dull and slow to do good works. I resolve to stand firm, but at the slightest temptation, I am set back. Sometimes, from a mere trifle, a grievous temptation arises. And just when I feel sure and think I have the upper hand, suddenly I am almost overcome by the least thing. Therefore, dear Lord, see my wretchedness and my frailty, which are best known to you above all others. Have compassion on me and deliver me from sinking into the mire of sin, that I may not stick fast in it. But this is what disturbs me and often confounds me in your sight, that I am so prone to fall and so weak in resisting my passions. And though I do not give in to them altogether, yet their assaults are troublesome to me, so that I am wearied by the daily conflict. Yet I know such conflict is not at all unprofitable to me, for by this I see my infirmities better and understand that such evil fantasies rush in upon me more easily than they depart. Now, if you noticed, the author talks about asking the Lord to have compassion. Well, in that gospel today, we know that the Lord has compassion. He has pity on us. So he understands that we're weak. He understands that we fall. He understands that we keep committing the same sins repeatedly, and he wants to help us. Would that you, most powerful God of Israel, the lover of all faithful souls, would look upon the sorrow and struggle of your poorest servant and come to my assistance in all that I must do. Strengthen me, O Lord, with heavenly fortitude, so that the old enemy, the devil and my wretched flesh, not yet fully subject to the Spirit, may not prevail over me. For it is against them that I must fight continually during this wretched life. And what kind of life this is, where troubles and miseries are never wanting, and everywhere there lurk snares and enemies. For as soon as one temptation or trouble goes away, another comes. And while the first struggle is still on, many others rise up unexpectedly. And how then can this life be loved, which is so full of bitterness and subject to so many trials? How can it even be called life, since it brings forth so many deaths and spiritual plagues? Yet it is loved, and many seek all their pleasure in it. The world is often blamed for being deceitful and vain, yet it is not easily given up, especially when the desires of the flesh take hold. Some things lead us to love the world, others to despise it. Those things that lead a person to love the world are sensual desires, the enticements that lure the eyes, the pride in riches. But the pains and miseries that follow them breed a hatred of and disgust with the world. So we want to make sure that we're not placing all of our desires in the things of the world, because the world can't deliver. It's going to be a temporary pleasure, right? It's not going to last. Your only true happiness will be found in the Lord. Now, do you believe that? Well, you might not feel it. You might not think that that's true, but give it a try. I guarantee it is true. Your pleasure can ultimately be only satisfied in the Lord. But sad to say, a little pleasure dominates the minds of the worldly, driving out their hearts, all heavenly desires, to such an extent that many imagine that joy is to be found in living under such sensual pleasures. That is because they have neither seen nor tasted the sweetness of God, nor the inward joy of virtue. But those who utterly despise the world and strive to live under holy discipline experience the heavenly sweetness promised to spiritual persons. They also see the errors of the world and how it is deceived in so many ways. You know, that is such a good message. Just make sure that you don't pursue all of your happiness in the things of the world. Does that mean you can't enjoy a nice dinner out or watch a good movie or buy something? No, it doesn't mean that. But you don't want to put all of your hopes in the things of the world. Ultimately, your hope, your security needs to be in the Lord. If it's not, you're idol worshiping, even if it doesn't feel like it, right? Think about that, pray about it, God willing, we're going to be back here tomorrow for another edition of the program. You know, it wouldn't be the same without you. So I hope you'll be able to join me for that. Until then, have a wonderful night. God bless you. And remember that all of your happiness lies in the Lord. Okay? God bless.